Hey guys, come on back this Saturday for a brand new episode of The Diablo Show. Episode 1's already out, and we get in deep with why Crusaders may not be as good as Barbarians. Whole bunch more good stuff on that episode. New episode coming this weekend. That'll be episode 2. More details, subscription info, and more can be found at frogpants.com/Diablo.
When I'm not busy making faces at the humans, I'm listening to The Instance. Alliance Pigs. You're listening to The Instance.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Instance. This is The Instance, episode 364. Today's Friday, May 2nd, 2014. My name is Scott Johnson. I'm joined by Dills.
Just Dills?
Just
no,
Dills.
No Willie Dills Gregory?
Just Dills.
All right.
Come on,
just
man.
Just Dills, everybody.
Yeah. Terpster's not with us. He's in the... we're going to say he's at work. That's what we're going to say.
He's working. Working hard, man.
I already kind of blew money. What he was really doing. But it's actually a real reason. So he's out. So the guy,
it's for legitimate reasons, everybody.
The guy who called in and says, Terpster talks too much. Well, this week you'll have a nice reprieve.
He will talk zero. Yeah. It's going to be amazing.
That's good to have you back. How you doing?
It's 364 episodes. We've almost reached the calendar year. That's
crazy. Can you believe that? One more, and it's one episode per day for an entire year.
Wow. So somebody could go back.
Yeah.
I think somebody should do this. Do the Instance Challenge. Yeah. One episode a day.
Yeah.
Although, can you even get like the first like 100-something episodes?
I think there's a bunch of them missing. Like you can't, they're there, but they don't download or something.
That's a consistent email we get is like, where's the first 170 episodes?
I know.
Because I want to go back and listen to everything.
The problem is, it's, you know, we're an 8-year-old show and we had a lot of, the way I used to do things isn't the way I do them now. And so there've been host changes and file changes and none of that stuff's in the same place anymore. And I don't know. At some point, I just need to go back, dig it all up. And assemble something, but it seems daunting, dude.
Geology, yeah.
Ugh, that sounds awful. I'd rather do dailies.
I always have these projects like this. We have this in the MGA where we're like, we got to go back and we got to have detailed records and statistics since the inception of the MGA.
Yeah.
Like, who has the highest career earnings and who's won the most top tens and all this stuff. And then every time we think about actually doing it, it's like, well, that's just a bunch of spreadsheet work that I really don't want to do right now.
Yeah, you may as well play Eve or something if you're going to do that.
That's right. Yeah.
Get some
ISK. Instead, we go golfing.
And by the way, congrats to the Eve folks on their big events happening right now in Iceland and all that stuff going on. We got a pretty good contingent of our guildmates who play that game.
AIEU?
Yeah, they're all into that. They got earning ISK and taking down freighters, and I don't know what you do in that game. Fly around, do stuff.
You fight other ships, and when you lose a ship, it's like devastating. I don't know.
Your entire bank account is closed. Like, things that happen in that game still to this day, it just confound me. Like, I keep hearing about it. It's like, such and such corporation lost $58,000 today in an attack on their something ships. And I hear that and go, what have we done? What are we doing? That doesn't seem good at all. That seems really bad in a video game.
Have you ever tried to watch like a stream of it or a video of Eve?
Yeah. There's some of the big battle stuff I've tried to,
if you don't play, it doesn't make any sense.
No,
I'm just like, okay, I'm sure this is exciting.
I'm sure for you guys,
this is incredibly exciting. But for me, it's just a bunch of stuff. I have no idea what's happening.
Right. And I always do this thing where they'll release a trailer or they'll put out a new something and I'll watch it and I'll get all excited about it because I love the look of it. I've always loved the look of Eve. Everything about the sound, the look, the feel, that stuff is totally up my alley. So I see that stuff and go, ooh, maybe I'll pick that up again and I'll grab it on Steam or something and I'll play maybe, I don't know, a few hours. And just go, what is this? What am I doing in here?
you need a tutor is what you need.
You really do. You need someone to tutor. What do you call them there? What do you call a mentor? I need an Eve mentor.
Yeah, you need a mentor. You get some Stig action. He would probably
help me if I asked him. Yeah. But that game appeals to the mind of guys like Stig. who is
incredibly genius minds.
Meticulous programmer types.
Me and you were like, "Yeah, I want to pew pew stuff."
I'm a couple of dough. Can I do that? A couple of dough heads that just know that every time we've got, you know, two mana balls left, at least I can shoot them in the face. You know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. Whatever. Good luck to everybody there, and it's a thing I admire from afar, and I continue to be just kind of in awe of what happens in that game, but I just don't get it.
Yeah.
But hey, more power to him. That's what I say about that.
Absolutely.
So let's dive in here. We got stuff. I've had a really, really busy couple of weeks. A lot of Nerdtacular stuff. Tomorrow we do the free comic book day thing on the site. By the way, that's absolutely free. You get a free print in the mail no matter where you live. Just go to frogpants.com/store and totally free print, everybody.
Okay.
Two of them this year, a bonus one. So anyway, so that takes a bunch of prep, and there's just a ton going on. So I had very little time for any games, but I did play a bunch of Diablo 3, as one might expect. That game's got its hooks so deep in me, it's disgusting. I did this it was Ralph and two other dudes, Second Aid, can't remember the third one. Sorry, man, whoever you were. Sif. Anyway, we're all doing this Torment level 3 difficulty Nephilim Rift.
Okay.
Which, you know, if that sounds a little Eve-like, you know, people out there don't know what I'm talking about. It's basically a part of what I would refer to as endgame for that game now. And that is just a freaking riot in there. I mean, just the hardest difficulty. I'm squishy as hell, so we're having to play tactically because I'm playing the wizard and they've all got their tanks out. And it was just a blast. What a blast that freaking game is now. I can't say enough about it. Anyway, so I played a bunch of that. And just feeling like WoW's still in kind of limbo mode for me until I get some new content. And I don't know why I feel that way. I know you've kind of been back digging in, doing old LFRs and stuff. I mean, tell me what you've been up to before I get to this Christy Golden thing. Because you know what I'm talking about, though. There's that...
No, I have the same feeling, honestly. Like it's you have to really at this point in an expansion, when you know the next one, you know, the final boss has already come and gone. We're not seeing another boss.
Mm-hmm.
You really have to kind of make goals for yourself in the game, and then those will force you to attempt to achieve them. You know, I don't know. It's that's a little rough.
Well, like your Sky Golem was a good one for you.
Yeah, my Sky Golem was the big goal I hadn't really tackled. And so I went and did that, and it got me in there.
Yeah.
But now I'm just kind of like leveling my other alts. You know, it's like I don't really even care what I do with Dills anymore. You know, it's like he's okay, whatever. He'll do whatever before then.
Yeah.
But I did do some, like, I was like, well, I guess I'll kind of messing around with some of these legendary cloak quests again, because I hadn't ever finished that, and it's kind of lame that I hadn't finished that. So
yeah.
So I just was like running some old LFRs, Thunder King or whatever. And
was it just to get Valor? Is that the point?
Yeah, just quick Valor. Like, these will probably go really fast, you know. Mm. That's what I figured. That was my thinking. I was like, these will go really fast, no stress, whatever. And then I get in there, it's like, why are people in here actually stressing out? Like, why are people talking down to other people, telling them they don't know what the hell they're doing?
Yeah.
Just being mean. I don't understand. We're in like, two raid tiers ago in LFR.
Yeah. And
what the hell is going on? We should not give a crap about this.
Yeah.
We should just go in, ignore all the mechanics, pew pew everything, and get the hell out.
Yeah. Barely even apparently speak to one another, you know?
Yeah. Apparently people still want to get mad at each other. I don't know why.
I don't understand that either. That's a weird thing, especially in older content. I get it if we're on the edge of something. And
well, if I'm in a heroic raid group and we're trying to push for world first and I screw up, sure, get pissed at me. But yeah, this was not the case.
Right. If I blow it for Team Liquid or whoever.
If I blow it and we don't get world first because of that, all right, you get to call me a noob or whatever the hell you want to call me.
Sure.
But this was Throne of the Thunder King, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like this is forever ago. This was like the middle one that nobody really cared about.
Yeah, this is stuff we'll be soloing in 3 years or something.
Yeah, it was like, oh, I went in there and I killed the big, you know, Shah of whatever. but like the thing is that it just pissed me off, and I was like, you know what, I'm going back to PvP because there, I expect the stress, and the stress is my own, and it's fine.
Yeah, no. Yeah, there's a certain expectation for smack talk for the team who's losing to be pissy. Like in a weird way, you know what you're signing up for there.
Yeah.
I feel like in LFR,
I know
you
someone's going to tell me to stop fighting on the road when I'm just, you know, running down the road and somebody engages me.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you noob fighting on the road. Well, I would die if I didn't stop and fight this guy.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a level of stress in PvP that is welcomed because you are like, you've kind of mentally prepared yourself for it.
Yeah.
You know, you're worried about people killing you. And then when you do like an old LFR, you expect to like just raffle stomp everything, right?
Yeah.
It was just bizarre to me that it was still like that in like old LFRs. So, you know, it didn't really, in the end, it wasn't like I had no fun.
Was your goal accomplished? Were you getting the Valor hand over fist? Was that the point?
No, I think I did like three bosses and I was like, I'm out of here.
Yeah, I can't
do this anymore.
Yeah.
So, you know, whatever. I would rather get like me and like one other person and be on Skype or Vent or something than do one of those. And then I don't care what the hell is going on. But when you're like by yourself, it's just like, that's the only thing that you're doing. So whatever. Mm-hmm. But in PvP, oh my God, hunters feel incredibly OP right now. And I don't think anything really changed. I don't know what's going on, but.
It's not like you
feel
suddenly
more OP than I did before,
and it's not like you suddenly were showered with a bunch of new gear or whatever. You feel like you feel like it's just in your favor right now.
Yeah, like I just feel like in like a one-on-one situation, maybe a monk when they pop that stupid thing of OP-ness, like maybe that can get me because like there's a weird thing monks do where they pop it and then like all the damage you do like it does to you or something. It's And if you're like not careful and you just continue to try to like blow them up, like all of a sudden you're doing a bunch of damage to yourself. They're a little tough, but everybody else, you know, paladins, priests, whatever, I just tear them up.
Well, you had me at stupid monk thing of OP-ness.
Even rogues when they pop up on me,
yeah,
I just disengage, slow them down, and then I just completely destroy them. It's amazing.
Yeah, you have your routine.
Yeah.
Do you feel like
it used to be if a rogue popped up from behind, that was it.
Yeah,
you're out. I might as well just stand there and wait till I die. but now I don't know. It's something about hunters right now, they're great. So much fun.
Well, that's good then, because with these other changes that are coming seem to only want to serve that, like being able to break CC and other stuff in the or having less CC or less sort of just standing there and repeatable CC on your hunter will only help you, right? You're not going to.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not going to be a disadvantage for you with these changes.
I think some people in chat are making a good point. I should probably solo raids. That would be a fun thing to do right now, actually.
Some old stuff? Like, how old do you think you got to go back? Because you got some where mechanically you just can't do it. You'd have to kind of pick and choose, right?
Yeah, you got to kind of pick and choose. But I definitely could solo some Wrath stuff, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, probably all Wrath stuff I could probably solo. Maybe not like all the raids, but, and then I'm sure there's some Kata stuff I could do.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think that would be fun and that would be challenging. It would give me a reason to try to get some better gear, to make sure that I could do that a little better. So yeah, I don't know. That might be a new goal for myself. We'll see.
I know this is probably even underway, but I'm still arguing for some kind of, I mean, it reminded me while I was playing it yesterday, but just some kind of adventure mode style gameplay applied to WoW. And I feel like the Timeless Isle was kind of an attempt at part of that. A piece of that was accomplished there.
Mm-hmm.
But this idea that, you know, I can roll in some random content with four of my friends and end up with some pretty good gear at the end of it and have that be just kind of randomized and different every time is better than trying to go do a preset old raid or deal with the LFR problem. I still say there's something to that. I don't, you know, and who knows? They do tend to steal from each other. These teams at Blizzard, they put their ideas in each other's games, and a lot of I would argue that the skill system and the the way cooldowns work and some other stuff in Diablo were lifted right out of WoW anyway. So why not pull the other direction? Is all I'm getting at.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I would do that right now.
Though that like an adventure mode would have to be like, I think the tougher thing though is that the way Diablo works is, you know, the maps can kind of just be created on the fly pretty easily.
Yeah, that's true. And it is all very,
creating
it's totally
maps
random.
In WoW is tough.
I agree. I think though, if you could, you wouldn't really have to do much in the way of, I mean, just create a big kind of open area, map, whatever. But then the encounters and what those encounters do would be randomized. I think that would still work.
Yeah, you could plug in and out, you know, several different mechanics and
Yeah.
And then, you know, you wouldn't really know what combination of mechanics this boss had.
Yeah.
And then you'd be fighting it and you'd be like, oh my God, he's summoning ads.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is cool. Yeah. And if you're good, if you've done this enough, you're going to recognize what it looks like when he's going to go into some kind of whirlwind or when he's going to lob fireballs. That'd
be really cool. I think actually. Yeah.
I just feel like I would be more engaged with where I'm at in the game at this particular part of the expansion cycle. I'd be more engaged to play than I am now.
Well, you know, another cool thing about that would be if you could tailor it to like groups of two, three, four, you know, like not just always five.
Yeah.
And then you could just pop in there with just your single buddy and potentially get gear that is helpful.
Well,
you know?
Sure. I mean, if anything, Flex Raid is a reflection again of an old Diablo trick, which is adjusting real-time adjustment of difficulty on the fly, depending on who is in the team. So when I hop in and it's just me and Ralph, and then two more guys join, immediately you hear, ah, someone has joined my party, but my enemies, my foes go stronger, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what flex rating is. I mean, they've done the same thing there. So I just think there's a way to do it. And there, I know some players are like, we're trying to put your Diablo in my WoW or whatever, but I still argue there's something there for them to lift and use.
Yeah. See, can you explain to me something about Diablo real quick?
Yeah.
What are you actually trying to get your gear for?
So that game is interesting, right? So in the sense, okay, so in WoW, you want to gear up for content that requires you to be a certain item level, right? So you can then compete there, and then
I can't kill Garrosh until I've got enough gear.
Right. So once you've got that gear, then you can fight him, and then as you fight him and then you fight stuff leading up to him and his wings and stuff, you're going to end up with gear that will help you better fight him. And then eventually enough gear that you have him on farm so that you're now getting whatever he's dropping in terms of, you know, currencies, special stones, whatever they're happening to be doing and you know, for that raid content and whatever top tier gear you want, the gear set you want to get out of that guy. So that's kind of your gear progression.
Cool, you want to look cool, you want to, all that stuff. So I get that.
It really isn't all that different in Diablo. The process is maybe a little bit different, but I mean, Diablo has like lots of ways to play, like WoW does. You can get in and play kind of casually if you want to, and just kind of, you know, beat the game and see the story, and that could be the limit of what you want to do. There's others who want to go to the furthest lengths possible to get the very best sets of gear there are in the game possible.
Just to have them.
But if you think about it, that's kind of what WoW's letting you do anyway.
In other words, but I mean, like for me, it's always been about like I know my, you know, personally, I like to get the gear because, again, then I go, okay, I'm now strong enough to, and we, you know, you see that in raids where it's like, okay, everybody go do this because we're close. We just all need a little bit more gear and then we can push past.
Well, there's definitely that stuff too. So the difficulty slider in the game lets you bump stuff up and do higher levels. So somebody the other day posted a video of somebody beating Torment 6 level difficulty, which is, I'm not kidding here, ungodly insane difficulty level, beating a rift in like 3.5 minutes or some crazy thing. So not unlike WoW where people beat, you know, do a raid tier and in record time or whatever. There's a lot of that going on, but there's also a lot of weird stuff dropping. Like yesterday I got a totem and it was from this boss and it's super rare. But if I can find the other totem it goes with, I can then have my jewel crafter guy for about 2 million gold can craft me like the ultimate end game ring thing. So there's like that kind of stuff going on all the time. We're like, man, I know it's like a 1 in a million chance, but I may get that drop in here.
Okay.
And it's got it going to the point right now where I am absolutely obsessed with the gear grind in that game. First of all, I don't feel like it's grindy. Second of all,
but in a way, like the raid tiers are like these torment tiers. Like, so I can't do the next tier of torment until I get some gear here in this one.
That's a really good point. And really awesome legendary orange drop could make the difference for you to jump up a tier or two.
All right, I'll buy that. It feels to me sometimes like people are just like playing and playing and playing and then like stop getting more gear, more new gear, new gear.
There is some of that to it, yes. But there are also some answers to that question, which is why. Now, at some point, do you just clear everything out and you've got the best of everything and what else are you going to do? Sure.
Yeah.
But then you're back to, let's get that Crusader up to 70.
That's supposed to take incredibly long.
Yeah, plus you got Paragon points, which you're now tweaking out your character to be, you know, the most tweaked out thing ever. So that combined with whatever your builds are going to be, and then people are theorycrafting what are the best builds and, you know, how to get one particular piece of gear will make it so you never spend an ounce of mana again. And how is that even possible? And, you know, so there's all people are always on the hunt for these crazy combos and the ultimate stuff. And then transmog's in there now, so you can transmog all your gear to be whatever you want it to be, and you can dye your armor and like all that stuff. Some of that stuff we always wished in, it was in WoW was in there. Mm-hmm. And it, I don't want to, you know, play this out to be the same kind of experience. It's not an MMO. It's not meant to be. Yeah. But I really like those pieces of it with this expansion. And as those pieces become more and more clear to me in terms of their long-term value, the more and more I'd like to see them in WoW.
Yeah.
Or some of
absolutely.
Them.
Absolutely.
Some ideas,
I,
you know.
See, to me, it always just felt like in WoW, like there was a legitimate goal. Like if I killed Lich King,
yeah,
right,
yeah.
with you guys,
right.
I felt like I achieved the goal.
Great night that
and
night.
And the only real reason that I went back in and did it again is because other people wanted to, you know, go in again, and I just wanted to hang out with my friends. At right. that point, I didn't really care about right. getting more gear.
Right.
Maybe there was like some trinket I really wanted or something just because it did something cool. But it wasn't really like just the gear. It was always like the gear is the means to kill the, you know, it's the means to the end.
Right.
So when I was playing Diablo, it always felt a little bit like, is the end the gear in this one? Or is the end, because like I've already killed Diablo and I'm like level 40, you know? So I was like, that was weird to me. Like that Diablo is like the big bad whatever. And now I've already killed him. And what? You know, yeah. I remember feeling like, okay.
Which is why I think adventure mode is specifically exists to answer that problem, because mm-hmm. that problem is a problem. It's always been a problem, but that's they always kind of just did it. And we live in an era now where you can't do that so much. But just ripping through the story again seems pointless.
Yeah,
to a lot of players.
Well,
and
that
I totally
was weird
get that.
To me. It was like, wait, so now what do? I just do it again?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, the same thing again?
Sure. I mean, most players don't even hit 60
higher
the first
difficulty.
Time through. Sure. So you crank it up. Well, in the old way that you could only do a higher difficulty once you beat it, and then only could do that next higher difficulty once you beat that. That's all changed now. That's mm-hmm. all on the fly. And even if you are playing the story, you can adjust difficulty up and down. There are people playing hardcore characters, which means one death and you're out.
Yeah.
And doing
that, that I could see. Like, I've actually been considering doing the Iron Man thing in WoW mm-hmm. just because it just sounds exciting.
Sure.
I don't know. It sounds crazy.
Yeah.
Like I have no talent points and I have white yeah. and gray gear.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
It's very, very, very strange. So
it is a weird idea.
Yeah. But it sounds kind of cool and you can't die.
Kind
you
know? Of a,
so it's
a
like there's a lot of stress.
It's like roguelike in a way.
yeah.
But
I
really don't
have to decide like which quest I can actually accomplish.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But it's interesting, you know, to see how things change down the road on both sides of the coin for them with team mm. with these two teams. It will be interesting. But yeah, I it's my, you know, to put a period on this, I would just say I think yes, it is a little more about the gear in Diablo than it is yeah. about you beating death in the new expansion or whatever.
Yeah.
Or Diablo in the first game. It's that's all true. There's definitely a bigger emphasis on that. Like we are now working toward better gear, but they are doing it in so much better, so many better
yeah, like
ways.
Diablo is like he doesn't even matter anymore, right? Like
well, he matters in that he's, well, I don't want to spoil anything, but he still matters, but it's okay. not like you're like, oh, we got a new raid boss with Diablo. And it's not like that.
Cause it felt to me like, you know, it felt to me like you get the epic cinematic. You killed Diablo.
Yeah.
He falls all the way through heaven.
Right.
Pretty sweet.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome.
And then I was like, that was cool. And then it's like, all right, go do some more stuff. And I was like, wait, what? Why?
Yeah.
I was like, I just did. I saved it. I saved the world, man.
It wasn't a good system the first time out. I hate to say yeah. it, but it was fine in 2001 when, you know, Diablo 2 was doing the same thing. But mm-hmm. we are in 2014, and I'll tell you.
Times have changed,
Reaper
man.
Of Souls is really the ultimate patch ever. I mean,
all
it
right.
just fixed it.
No, I mean, I you know, I'm not like talking down on Diablo. It's just, I guess, you know, for someone who always played Diablo kind of as a just like, yeah, I'll just go in and click my mouse a bunch of times. Like, I never really
yeah.
got too into the whole
sure.
minutia of it.
Sure.
It's just a little bit weird to me when I was like, well, what am I fighting for now?
Yeah. Who are you? Whose side are you on, man?
What? Yeah. What the hell? Everyone I know is evil or like, or now they're mortal again, so whatever. Like, so what the hell am I doing
yeah,
here?
Yeah, what are you doing? Well, I can tell you this. tune in this weekend for a brand new Diablo show starring Scott Johnson. We'll talk more about it.
You'll explain all of this.
Yes, I will. It's time for some news here.
Big news of the week. Big news.
Doghousesystems.com is sponsoring the big news of the week, where you can go and get a brand new gaming rig with some cool custom art on the side. Ooh, you guys just got to go see what they got there for options. It's awesome. And you can use Henry as your code at checkout for double the memory. There's never been a better time to get a brand new rig. And if you're worried about your model, the new models in WoW showing up right on your current computer, go get this one and you won't even blink. It'll all be perfect. That and so much more runs great on there. Go check them out. That's doghousesystems.com. All right. Flying and Draenor get some serious down and dirty talk in the forums. A couple of big posts from Blues. Bashiok had a bunch of stuff to say. We'll get into all of that as little or as much as we want. But here is the essence of it. And this is the most recent post. They asked the proverbial question, will flight be available at some point in Warlords? And this just keeps coming up. I don't know why it keeps coming up. Just to remind everybody, it first came up on our show at BlizzCon. Just want to remind everyone. That was a fine day. Good day. Okay. Being perfectly honest, they say, we don't know when it will be available.
Yeah.
In the same way, we have no idea what the gearing model for the final tier of the expansion could be. That makes people nervous because they act like it won't be till the end. Because it's going to be based on testing and playing and seeing how the expansion plays out up to that point being when they add it. We're open and willing to change the game as we go to make it the best it can be. We don't know because we are open to feedback and making changes based on that feedback. That's an interesting answer. Up till now, it's kind of just been, well, we don't just want people dropping in and dropping out. And you pulled up that big Bashiok post,
yeah,
which got into a little bit more detail, a lot more detail, actually. And part of it, well, tell me what you told me earlier. You feel like there may be a role-playing reason or a very significant gameplay reason why they're withholding this.
It feels to me like there's a little bit of an RP kind of feel that they want back that doesn't exist currently with the way people fly. One of the examples used was if you're going to kill the other faction's leaders, right? And is it fun to just fly in there, swoop in from above, enter the throne room, kill them, mount up, get the hell out. Like, it's just like this quick strike in and out.
Yeah,
that kind of feels like that almost feels like a tactical military strike or something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas like they wanted it to feel like an old school Dungeons and Dragons type of experience where you're like, okay, I enter in from the front gate and I see two guards to the left and right of me. I engage the left one and then, you know, I trap the right one and then we tussle for a while. Like, it's like they want you to actually have to do some stuff.
Mm.
Right? Like,
I can see that.
You have to stop and you have to plan out how you're going to approach this and how you're going to get in there and how you're going to, you know, sneak past all these other guards and get in there and kill this guy. And right now it's, you know, swoop on them, like wait for mobs to clear. And then like, oh, there's a pack going by. Gotta wait for that. Okay. Now it's gone. Swoop in, kill him.
Yeah.
Swoop out.
Yeah. So maybe they're trying to recapture vanilla WoW in a way.
I mean, to an extent, I don't know if it's necessarily like just specifically vanilla WoW, but it's definitely just the feeling of having to try. And having to be good at the game because you have to be good at the game to do something rather than I just have this thing that allows me to fly wherever the hell I want. And I totally get that. And I think that makes sense. I don't know if I want there to never be flying in Draenor because it's also really satisfying to pop my Sky Golem out, you know, soar into the air and fly around looking for rare mobs to kill and, you know, stuff like that.
Here's the problem. This game right now, so I'm going to take the viewpoint of somebody out there, because I'm actually kind of not all that worked up about it, because I think it'll play out and end up being the best it can be for the game, and they'll put in whatever makes the most sense. So I've got faith in it on that level. But to look at it through the eyes of somebody who says, well, no, don't take away flying. Part of the problem is, yes, you want to create kind of this immersive RP experience, put the fantasy back in your game a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. But you know what that means. What it means is, let's use your example. I came through the front gate, and to my right and left were guards, right?
Yeah. Well,
in this game, it means tab, do your rotation, kill him, go loot him, or even wait and then go kill the other guy. Now loot them both. You loot them once, I guess, because now it's all area loot. And you get the loot, and you check, oh, I got a little gold. Okay, you're going down the hall again. My friend called. I'm going to take that call real quick and sit. Did I not take? You know, you're doing what you do in WoW to do all of these things. It isn't like you were just presented with a brand new version of Skyrim where everything's a mystery and you don't really know what the mechanics are going to work out to be, and you're not going to enter a cave not knowing what to do or where things might be or that something might trigger a trap or any of these things. I mean, they can go to some lengths to create all of that, but I feel like because people kind of know what – they know what's on the menu. They don't want to be told they can't jump straight to the main course.
No, absolutely. And I think this really comes from, you know, having something for so long and then having it be taken away. It's if this was never there in the first place, no one would give a crap. But the fact is, we've all been doing this for so long. We've all been swooping in and killing things. Now to go back is weird.
Yeah.
You know?
I guess what I'm... And plus, yes, you've given them this other thing, but remember when they gave it to him, because they kind of gave him this RP experience at the end of Burning Crusade. It was like, you've done all of this. It was hard. When you entered a Hellfire Peninsula, it was huge and massive, at least at the time it seemed like that. And there were really serious dangers at every turn. And as you worked your way through those zones, it was just this big, massive exploration-based experience. By the time you got to Shadow Moon Valley or wherever the hell it was, and you wanted to get your mount, it was going to cost you. It was going to take a bunch of time. You had to earn that damn thing. And then when you got it, when money still kind of mattered in the game, it was a huge accomplishment. And now you're reaping the benefit of, now I have dominion over the skies and I can fly anywhere I want to go. Once you cracked open that genie, that genie was out of the freaking bottle.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll bet it's their favorite. It's like one of the best worst things in the game. Because it's this best thing ever, man. And then it's the worst thing ever. Because now it has such a stranglehold on everything they do moving forward. It's bit him in the butt with Cataclysm. It may bite him in the butt here on the opposite side of not letting people fly. Like it's a really sticky wicket, that thing.
No, I mean, it was one of the coolest things ever when I was able to finally fly. I remember it just being like, holy crap, I can fly? What?
That was epic.
But to a certain extent, it's altered the game in such a major way. There has been some things lost, and you know, some of the things lost were like, I don't know what the hell is actually on the ground between me and this thing.
Right.
I have no idea. But I never run across the ground to get there.
Which is why, again, maybe why I keep arguing. So I just realized something. I'm probably arguing more for randomization in the game because of the unexpected nature of randomization. Because you know when you enter that gate how this is all going to go down. And once you've done it once or read it on Thoughtbot or something else, I guess no one's using Thoughtbot anymore.
Thoughtbot.
Wowhead. So let's say somebody read about it on Wowhead and they go, oh, yeah, I know exactly where to go, who to talk to, what to do, what mobs I can avoid. That trash doesn't even have to get touched or whatever. Don't aggro these guys. Once you know that, then it's just this rote thing that's always in the same place. And who cares? The RP experience is out the door anyway. Now it's just a pain to get there because you can't fly. Well, if the game could introduce randomization based content, then you'd never know. And I know that's hard to balance and it's not that simple and there's a lot to that, but the idea that I would have to essentially have a new adventure every time I wanted to go accomplish something is enough to make that feeling feel more real, feel more whatever. And the flying thing is less of a problem. Otherwise, what you're doing is you're saying, well, now I know exactly what's going to happen here. Let me just get to the main course. I've had that appetizer 5,000 times. I don't need it anymore.
I actually do this quite often where I just try something for the first time without ever looking it up.
Yeah.
And then if I die a few times, then I go to Alakazam and then I figure it out.
Well, at some point you got it, right? Alakazam, did you say? Holy crap. Whatever happened to them?
Oh my God. Yeah.
Kazam.
Sorry, I just had to bring up some.
I'm gonna look that up real quick.
That Thoughtbot bomb that you just dropped on us.
Oh my gosh, they're not even listed in the first page of Google results.
Yeah.
Well, anyway.
It's probably gone completely.
Weird.
There's
a Pokemon called Alakazam that's highly featured in Google results, but the Alakazam.com is apparently not a thing of the past.
Yeah, it's gone.
Anyway, that makes me sad. Because they were big deal. Remember them? They were big deal at the time.
Oh yeah, that was my go-to spot.
Yeah,
now it's, you know.
Oh my gosh, you should see the if you go put alakazam.com in, you should see the domain roulette that happens. Holy crap!
Yeah,
yeah. It ended up putting me at something called zoosk.com, which is some discover why 25 million singles you use Zoosk. All right.
I don't want to know.
All right. Fine. That's sad. All right. Well, moving on. There's flying. Go fly, everybody. Go fly a kite.
Yeah. I honestly, Blizzard, if you want my opinion, which I don't think you care, but I don't give a crap either way. However you feel it works best, I'm in. Let's go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's because we're fanboys and we blindly go in.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's because of, you know, well, the paychecks.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's true. If they don't game us flying, I'm sure that I'm going to enjoy what I'm seeing from the ground. And if they do game us flying, I'm sure I'm going to enjoy popping my sky goal and running up in the air. And if we hate it,
we'll tell you. Okay.
Yeah. And at that point, I'll make a decision. But I really, this is not a make or break situation for me. No. Some people seem to feel that way.
Well, and Blizzard keeps feeling the heat from that and having to do these giant posts. And I feel bad about that because I feel like it should have been put to bed a while ago. But part of the problem with putting it to bed is they still don't have a definitive answer of what they plan to do. And I think these posts are there to address that.
Yeah. I think everybody assumed that. And I assumed that we were going to have no flying. Then we were going to reach max level. Then we were going to pay some dude.
Yeah.
For a special drain or flying.
Yeah.
And end of story.
Iron Horde flying ability or
exactly.
Something.
Yeah, you need to be able to fly through the fog and smog of the I don't know.
Well, they're making a lot of armor and cutting a lot of trees down, and it's
that's true. Lots of smog out there, man. It's like LA.
Yeah, it's real bad.
Yeah.
You wonder why
Draenor is exactly like Los Angeles.
Yeah, people in Zangarmarsh wondering if global warming is real. It's real, man. It's real.
Go to Draenor, man. It's crazy.
Watercooler Dev, they did a 3-part look at raiding in Warlords of Draenor, and they did it kind of in a weird, interesting way. They went back and talked about.
It was like 25 parts. Yeah,
it's a beast.
It was really long.
A huge beast. We read a bunch of it, but the synopsis is basically 3 lines, and thanks to MMO Champion really narrowed these down to 3 of these, and I think they were pretty well said. But honestly, if you're super into the history of raiding in the game and you want to go all the way back to vanilla and work your way up, I mean, this is definitely a way to do that. I don't know why you would, especially if you were there. I guess if you want to get a history of it and you're new to the game and you're interested in the history of raiding and how it's evolving, I think this is really just their way of saying, here's some context for how it was in very detailed, you know, ways. And then here's how it's going to be. And I think that context is meant to help with some hard changes, maybe, or some things people don't expect, or, you know, some of this group finding stuff that they're changing and implementing they're kind of big deals.
Well, so, they really don't want to make people feel like they have to do all of the raiding, you know, which is how it's felt for a long time.
Yeah.
Since the addition of, you know, I mean, if you remember Tournament of Champions, right?
Like, oh, Lord. Yeah. How could I forget? How much stone did I get for that goblin bastard?
Right? Oh. It was just like, I remember specifically doing it on normal heroic 10 and normal heroic 25 every week for a while. And God, that was annoying.
Yeah.
Like it was just, you know, it was fine. I enjoyed it. It was short. It was, you know, not that many bosses.
Yeah.
So you could get through it pretty quick, but just doing the same damn fights.
I liked what they did with Tournament of Champions. Everything I like about WoW is at its most intense during the Wrath of the Lich King expansion, because things just seemed bigger and more sweeping. And in that whole tournament thing, which was big empty tundra before that all started and began to construct itself, and you got to go pitch in and this festival atmosphere and the weird chocobo riding stuff and the jousting crap and all that stuff, while maybe tiresome after a few times in there, at least they were just going for crazy scope all the time.
Yeah.
I don't think we've done that in a while, you know?
No, that's true, yeah.
Pandaria got there a little bit more.
A little bit, yeah. Right. I you know what I missed, though? I missed, I remember, you were there, I think, when we did a new Barak heroic.
Oh yeah.
God, that was a fun fight.
Yeah, it was a good
There's so
fight.
Much going on in there. Like you shoot the orbs down and then like you create the frost on the ground that you drag them through, and
it was great.
There was just so much cool stuff going on in that fight, and it was so hard.
Yeah.
The first time we did it, it was really difficult, and it was such a cool feeling to finally do it.
People look back on TLC with mixed reactions. I thought that was a great time.
I never got tired of that particular fight, to be honest. And I never got tired of the Yeti either.
Yeah. The one that charged and hit the wall, that dude.
Yeah, I never got tired of that fight. But I definitely got tired of the freaking
You faced Jaraxxus.
Oh yeah, Jaraxxus was yeah, he's fine. He was fine. Now he's just like a cool card in Hearthstone.
But, yeah, he is.
But
where
he
belongs, damn it.
What was the one where it was like PvP? That's the one that was like, just so stupid and annoying.
Yeah, I got that.
I just couldn't take it.
Yeah, I didn't like that one. But the rest of it was fun, and I liked not having to travel 500 miles and go through a bunch of trash to get to the next boss. That was great.
Yeah, faction champions or whatever.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good. Again, there was just a lot of really creative ideas going on there, and I feel like I want that back, that feeling.
Yeah, totally.
Anyway, they've narrowed it down to these three things. LFR will have even higher drop rates for loot, but will not drop tier gear and specific trinkets. Instead, it will have different loot table with different art. So they're no longer going to do, these are the same as the tiered stuff, just different color.
Yeah, just like weaker versions. Yeah, I don't know.
I think that's, this sounds fine to me. The fact that it's a different tier of gear is probably good. It's more work for them, but I think it's better for players. There will be less incentive to cap Valor every week. I don't understand why that would be. I read through most of this stuff.
Well, I think it's because you don't need so much of it. And, right now you have to, the only way I'm going to earn all the stuff I need to earn is to, get full of Valor every single week. You're not going to need it so much anymore.
Diablo tip. Don't cap your blood shards, everybody. You know what I'm talking about. Because you want to spend those. If you hit 500, you're not earning more, and it's a huge waste if you come back.
Ooh,
especially if you do a sweet rift where you get 52 blood shards, or just you're not going to get them. Anyway, sorry. Back to this. Game is great. finally, the devs think these changes will be enough to prevent most people from feeling that they need to do every raid difficulty every week. So that speaks to what you were saying. Just trying to get away from feeling like you got to do every damn thing. All right. What else we got here? Strong boxes. So you did a bunch of looking around on this. Tell me what strong boxes are. What's the damn point?
I'm excited for this for sure. So strong boxes. Let me just say what they say here. The Warlords of Draenor expansion will also bring some major improvements to the way PvP gear is earned. For starters, we're vastly improving the bonus rewards you can earn from doing random or called arms battlegrounds. At the end of each match, you'll earn bronze, silver, or gold strong box, or possibly all three. So, Warsong Gulch, if your faction captures one flag, you'll get bronze. If you get two, you'll get bronze and silver. And if you get all three, you win and you get all three strong boxes. Mm. They're going to change some of the stuff. So instead of 1,600 currently in Arathi Basin, it'll be 1,500. So it's easy. It's every 500 points gets you another strong box. And basically inside the strong boxes could be honor, conquest, or possibly gear. You can actually get a piece of gear.
Well, that's cool.
And, yeah, and the better box you get, the better the better your reward is. So basically, what this means is that currently when you're playing Battlegrounds, I really love this idea because what this does is when you play a Battleground currently and you start to lose, people just AFK at the graveyard, or they just just straight up leave, they just desert the Battleground.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to get very cool rewards, now in this case, what's going to happen is you're going to say, well, we're going to lose, but let's at least, try to push through and get a bronze box, we could still capture a flag and get a bronze strong box.
Yeah. I think that's great.
Yeah. So, you're not going to see as much deserting and quitting on your team. You're going to see people say hey, whatever, man. We clearly can't win this fight, but let's at least get something done.
Yeah.
And maybe I'll get a piece of gear.
Yeah.
So I just think it's a fantastic way to handle what is actually a really big problem in Battlegrounds. And I gotta be honest, Arena is cool. I really don't like the fact that Arena is the end all be all of PvP and WoW, right?
Yeah.
Because it's a death match. That's all it is.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, and I like the rated Battlegrounds, but again, the barrier for entry is a little too tough in there. So, to me, still just standard queue up Battlegrounds are one of the funnest things to do in PvP for me. And, just because there's objectives, there's stuff going on, there's teamwork, and it's kind of dynamic because I don't know how good or bad my team will be. And,
sure.
All of that is, kind of exciting and fun to me. So, I'm glad that that is getting more stuff added to it. This strong box system is actually going to be a really cool way to handle what is a problem right now. And just all you have to do with WoW players is just promise the chance of gear, and that we will do whatever.
Yeah.
Right? It's so crazy. Like, just, hey, you might get gear at the end of this. You know, like, all right, I'll do anything.
You won't, including not quitting, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Stay
yeah.
around so, and get whatever you can get. That's great. Yeah, I think really that's huge. And I don't know why. I feel like this is the first time hearing a lot about it. I know it's been mentioned, but it seemed kind of quiet on.
Yeah. We'd heard stuff about, you know, about how PvP stuff was going to change. Like the gear now is actually going to be better, and actually PvP gear will be viable in PvE now, which is like another crazy thing.
Yeah.
But well, basically, it's all like, just
one.
Wear,
it's all one set now, though, right? I mean,
no. There's still PvP gear and PvE gear.
Oh, I thought the whole idea was that PvE gear would just switch over and the stats would.
No. They actually, so it goes the other way. Oh. So PvP gear is going to be better for PvP. PvE gear will be better for PvE. They will both be somewhat alternative. Like, you can swap without having too much of a penalty, but you're still going to be better off in PvP gear for PvP.
That completely surprises me. I thought it was complete.
I thought it was just one piece of gear.
I thought they were chucking it, and it would just be like, all right, your tier gear you just got on your boss thing, you decided you're going to go PvE. That stuff would just work.
Yeah, but no, there's still those two. There's still that separation.
I did not know that.
But if I am a healer or a DPS, my helm is my helm.
Mm.
That's where it just swaps back and forth.
Right.
But the PvP stuff has a higher item level so that you can't. And then basically what it does is it drops down the other way. And so if you're in PvP gear and you're like out questing, and then somebody tries to gank you, you're in PvP gear, and so you have a, you know, suddenly it swaps into, okay, now you're in PvP stats. Mm-hmm. So it's actually kind of interesting. So you'll still have PvP gear and PvE gear, but you won't have to change depending on what spec you do for each thing.
Yeah.
Still much simpler, because right now I have to have a healing PvP set and a DPS PvP set and a healing PvE set and a DPS PvE set. Like, you know, it's a little bit crazy right now.
Yeah.
If I'm like a druid or something, you know.
I don't know why I had it in my head that it was one set fits all.
Well, at BlizzCon, they kind of just made it seem like one set of gear is everything, and that's kind of what.
That's probably why.
I
think that's what I got from that.
Yeah.
But
if you read like some of this stuff, like, that's very clear that those two sets are still separated, because, and they have to be, honestly, because what's the friggin' point?
Yeah.
Where do I go to earn my gear? Do I do it in PvE?
Yeah.
Well, then what am I doing in PvP?
That's a valid point.
Like, if I'm in a PvP, like, I need to be earning that gear. If I'm in a PvE, I need to be earning that gear. Like, they're so separated. You can't really just, like, give out the same gear for both. So.
All right. Well, that's interesting. Strong boxes, man. It's the future. Actually, I think it's a really good idea.
It's a really, really good idea. Yeah, it's so frustrating when your team just gives up, you know? And you're just like, okay, well, I guess I give up too then. All right.
It does seem like a thing that they would have figured out a long time ago, though.
Yeah.
You know? Like, that seems real obvious to me, but...
This is an elegant solution to it, and it's tough to come up with those.
I guess so, and implement it right and have it all feel right and everything.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, I've been losing a lot of matches in Call of Duty or Hawken or 1,000 other shooters for the last 8 years, and... those give me XP and perks even when I lose. It may not be as much as the winners, but I've always had a reason to stay. You know what I mean? The fact that they have not had a compelling reason to stay till now, or more compelling reason, let's say, is kind of mind-boggling.
The reason before was you would get penalized. You wouldn't be able to enter a BG for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And that's not clearly not enough.
It's the difference between... hey kid, clean your room or you're grounded versus, hey kid, clean your room and I'll take you golfing later.
Yeah. Yeah. The thing is, it's like, yeah, exactly. It's rather than penalizing, you're incentivizing.
Yes,
and that's
better
way to go.
I meant to say that was much better the way you said it.
Like, clean your room or I hit you in the face, or clean your room and I give you a cookie.
Or in my case, for some reason, I'm taking him to play golf, which is
golf. That's what every little kid wants.
Right.
Yeah.
They all want to play golf.
I incorporated corporal punishment into mine. But
of course you did. That's you.
See, I don't have kids, so I assume you guys all hit him.
Oh, every time.
That's
Well, you didn't finish your oatmeal. Bap. Yeah. Right at the side of the head.
Right there on the head.
Yeah. Sadly, some people do. Let's see. Have you seen this new fiery mechanical mount they put on Twitter? It's pretty sweet. It's
pretty sweet looking, yeah. Yeah.
There's not much more to know about where you'll get it or how you'll earn it or any of that. But
I like how they said can be best when they can be used with friends. Yeah. So, but it doesn't look like two people can fit on this thing. So I'm wondering what the hell that means.
Who knows? I don't know either. They're real hinty about it. My guess is on the store. That's my guess. This looks like one. Yeah. With this whole coming soon thing, I don't know.
Yeah.
I could be wrong.
Like this is really cool. But something about the friends thing makes me think this is some sort of a recruit a friend type of reward or something like
that. Best when they can be used with friends.
Like it's some sort of a social something is going to earn you this mount.
Yeah. I think you're
That's what I'm guessing.
Yep. I'm putting my money where your mouth is right now.
I like the gold chains coming out of the mouth there.
Yeah, dude.
Pretty sweet looking.
A Run DMC horse.
Yeah.
Let's see. Only
he's got Adidas on with no laces. Wow. It's
amazing.
This is cool.
Yeah. My Adidas. All right. Only 3 weeks remain for the filming of the World of Warcraft movie before it wraps. I guess just Warcraft movie. I keep calling it a World of Warcraft movie. Production hell begins. This according to a tweet by Duncan Jones. So 3 weeks left to principal filming and they're out.
That's crazy.
Empire Magazine had some photos of some shots of him filming some scenes. And there was a rumor floating around that something was going on up there where I can't remember what the deal was. Somebody famous was on this. I can't remember what the deal is. But anyway, there's been a lot of talk about what's happening. But for the most part, they've kept it kind of secret. There aren't a lot of like leaked photos of sets or outdoor stuff or any of that.
There's that one photo, and that photo was like not that exciting.
No. Which one? Him that's like his back and he's
just him, his back, and then you see like the monitors and you can see they're clearly like two kind of peasant looking people.
Yeah.
But I'm sure they're not peasants. They're dressed very peasant like.
Yeah.
And they're clearly in Stormwind.
Yes.
Like, that's all I could tell.
Or some city of note. It's hard to say.
But just the stone and everything.
Alliance, right?
it was Stormwind. Yeah.
Did Stormwind exist during the early Durotan days and all that? Like this thing's
I don't know, maybe not. Yeah.
Pre-WoW, so I don't know. I don't know enough about the lore. Terpster could tell me about that, but
Terpster would know. But it just looked like some Stormwind stuff. It looks like the throne room in Stormwind to me. Like it looks like a big circular room. I don't know. It's exactly what it looks like.
King Tyrannus's what's his name's room where Arthas killed him in Warcraft 3. Spoiler. I don't know.
Could be.
I don't know. The timeline is lost on me, to be honest. Yeah. I don't know where things started again with that.
You could see though that it looks like a Stormwind guard behind this one guy. So
yeah. Yeah.
And like you could see you see him standing there. He's got like all the kind of gold plated armor and all that stuff.
Stormwind.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
When you slap him.
But it's it's odd the styling to me to see it live. Like I'm sure it's going to be fine, but it just at first glance you look at it and you go like
weird. It's weird. Yeah. But it's it's behind the scenes. Who knows? But anyway,
it's not going to look like this at all.
Three more weeks of filming, they're done. They're out.
Crazy.
Then the real fun begins with them trying.
As a movie expert, Scott, you are, you have a whole sack of them.
I do, right?
How long after principal photography wraps, how long does it usually take for a movie like this to actually come out?
I think it depends on the movie, but I would say anywhere between 8 months and a year.
Yeah.
Is my expectation. And we know this isn't coming out until, didn't they delay it to early 2016?
That's what I thought.
So I want to say if it's spring of 2016.
It seems like this is early for it. If it's coming out in 2016, this is early to be like finishing. Because then you got like a whole nother year after this.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder if they
this year is not even close to halfway.
What if they literally are going to treat it like they do a Blizzard game where they just polish the hell out of it and do a closed beta and all this kind of stuff?
Like, we're releasing it to a certain friends and family first.
Friends and family, and technical alpha. Yeah.
And then we're going to change everything.
Yeah. Okay,
and then we're going to release it again.
We're doing a character wipe, and that means new actors.
Sorry, guys.
Sorry, everyone.
We're doing a popcorn wipe, everybody. Going to take away your popcorn now. Yeah, I hope that it's incredibly polished. I mean, I feel like Blizzard's not going to... Well, you know what they're going to do to Duncan Cheek, or Duncan Cheek. Why did I just call him that?
I don't know. Duncan Jones.
You know what they're going to do to Zoe Bowie.
Yeah, Zoe Bowie. Sorry.
Yeah, what I really want to call him. Right. What they're going to do is they're going to suddenly give him 5 weeks instead of 10
weeks.
Oh,
right. We got some bad news for you.
Good news and some bad news.
Next time.
Sorry, Duncan Sheik. I mean, Duncan Jones. I mean, Zoe Bowie.
I got this much to say about Azeroth Choppers episode 3.
Oh, yeah.
I'm...
get to it already.
I am kind of super disappointed that they're not further down the road here. It's just a whole lot of, oh, we only got 5 weeks talk still. And oh,
they're
one of our,
talking about that.
One and of then, our guys oh, is what off happened
the to the dude.
Yeah, he had a family thing, so he's not there anymore. And
Wade.
What damn are you going to do? Wade, damn it, Wade. I am cooperating, Wade. Anyway, that whole thing is just kind of killing me. And I don't, you know, here's the best part, episode 3. They do some behind the scenes. Here are some guys working at Blizzard stuff. And when that was on, I was like, yeah, more of this, please.
I know. I wanted them to like actually get in depth with those guys, but it was just like a very short, like, I make trees.
Yeah.
You know,
I do environmental art and I've been here 17 years and all this stuff's really exciting. And then they cut to, I don't know how we're going to get this thing done. We're missing Wade. Where's Wade? You know, I don't know I'm super kind of disappointed at this stage in overall what's happening.
I know. I really wanted to just see them building the bike. I don't want to hear about, like, I don't want to be teased with tension. Yeah. I just want to watch them build the bike.
Yeah, I want a more Mythbusters approach to the build itself, not the controversies that aren't real around the build and this artificial 5 week time frame that's completely made up and all that kind of stuff. I want to see him just get to the brass tacks, or how about we just scrap the whole thing and let's do a documentary about the life of Blizzard people and what they deal with. I would watch one that's just about the CMs. I want to see Bashiok, Zerum, freaking Vanderlip, all you guys running around that place like crazy people trying to get ready for a launch, getting ready for BlizzCon. That would be a really entertaining documentary style web series. Mm. This thing right now just feels like a weird cast off of the Nat Geo channel.
Well, I mean, I really enjoy watching them come up with cool, crazy parts for these bikes and come up with the concepts for them. But right now, like, I haven't seen any of that. I saw them make, like, I saw them, you know, cut a tusk, and then I saw him, like, you know, making a tank. Yeah. That's like all I've seen so far.
Yeah, that's it. The bikes.
And I wanted to see the bikes.
I agree. I know we got more, and I know it's only 3 episodes in, but I really want to see the bikes. And I wish if they would take a more daring approach, which is just be more technical, just say, all right, here's how we make it. Here's how we do it. Spend some time actually building the thing and what's hard about it, what's easy about it. You know, tips and tricks about how people shape metal and that kind of thing. That's way more interesting to me than where Wade is, you know? And like, and this other guy.
But let's be honest. What the hell happened to Wade?
What's going
on? Where did he go? What's happening with Wade?
But they'll
look, Scott. Yeah. 5 weeks, man. How are they going to get this done?
Yeah, I know. I don't know how it's killing. It seems impossible. Next time. So the guy with there was a programmer dude there, an old timer guy at Blizzard. He started talking about, I'm the guy when they come to me with like pet battles and they say integrate it into the game. I'm the guy who has to figure out how we're going to do that and work with my team to make that work and make that happen. And and then as soon as that got interesting, they stopped talking to him and they moved back to Wade. Back to Wade again. And that made me just go, oh, give me a series about the programmer guy. I would watch that. I don't care if you think it's not mainstream. Who are you trying to appeal to here? I think that would be a more interesting show. That all being said, I'm going to remain optimistic that we get to see more of the bikes in the next few episodes, but whatever. We're all getting the free mount.
I'm sure there will be a sweet payoff, but right now it's like this episode to me felt like why did I have to watch this?
Yeah, it was a little bit.
Why did I have to watch this one? And like, because you know, actually at this point, I got to admit, I'm like waiting for the next one to come out.
Yeah, no, you're anticipation.
And then it came out. Yeah, it came out, and I was like, what? No, all right, I'm gonna watch Survivor again.
Oh guys, man,
I don't know.
That's not good either.
For some reason Survivor actually interests me just because I like to watch people stab each other in the back for some reason. I don't know.
I've always said there's one key ingredient to any kind of good watchable reality TV, and that is humiliation. If there's humiliation involved somehow, you got a show that will do well. And maybe the Azeroth Choppers thing is just not humiliating enough. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe if they delved more into Wade, maybe we'd have something. Yeah. But
come on, Wade. Let's have Wade turn out to be some kind of psycho or something, and then you're
Man, what if Wade comes back at the end and he's in like full on Garrosh gear with like a giant battle axe? That would be amazing.
That would be great.
We're like, oh God, Wade's back.
Cyborg Wade.
Yeah.
That's and brilliant.
Then, Paul Jr. has to tank and you know, yeah.
No, it's a good idea. Yeah. Look at us flowing with them.
That's what's gonna happen. I'm predicting it right now.
We're gonna rip through these real quick. It's World of Tweets, Tweets, Tweets.
Tweets!
I got one from Celestalon. He answered a question, which was, which class do you personally feel had needed the biggest revamp and why? Hard to decipher from a long list. He says, seems pretty definitive here. Mistweavers, definitely. Talked about it a lot in their section. So apparently...
I don't know a lot about how Mistweavers play, but
apparently
sure.
They need a revamp. I don't see a lot of... I don't play with a lot of monk healers. I can say
that. Well, you know, the problem for me was that I had to stand there and channel this heal, and I didn't like that.
Yeah.
It wasn't very fun to do.
No.
I'd much rather channelers, cast aren't they? And run.
They're kind of channelers by nature. They don't do
you
a lot of...
You have this one major heal that you channel that, and it, you know, gives you... It builds up, like, points of something that you can use for other stuff. I don't know. It's I didn't play high enough to know, really, but... I just felt like I was standing around a lot shooting green mist at people, and I wanted to be like running around doing stuff, you know. So
totally understand. Maybe that's why. Yeah. Maybe that's why it's on the block probably. There to get changed. Next one came to Watcher Dev, who answered this question. Any word on what the Reforge mount will become? Thanks. He says the leading contender is Transmog. So there you go.
Okay.
Because we're losing.
Getting up for me.
Reforge is going away. That's why.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, an answer to a question that Terpster used to be real excited about, but I'm not sure I've got my hopes up anymore. But someone asked Holinka a long time ago, there was a pick of a Dota 1 map for BG for Battleground. Can you say if it will ever come out in Warlords or Draenor? It says it will not be out in Warlords, and that's all they said. Now, I can read that one of two ways. One way is that it's still a thing and it's being tweaked and worked on, and maybe that's still going to happen. And Corey Stockton, I mean, on this very show, kind of let it leak that, yes, that was a thing they were working on and it was cool. But this also could mean it is zero priority. Why focus on a Dota style thing in there when they're clearly have their own Dota game coming out?
It's gone the way of the dance studio.
Kind of feel that way too. So don't, I would not hold your breath is what I guess I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't either. And, you know, honestly, the Heroes is so good.
It is good.
If you want to play some Dota 1 maps, just play Heroes, dude.
Play Heroes.
It's not the Dota 1 map, but.
Yeah. Somehow get the technical alpha out of nowhere and then play it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish they'd hurry up and go beta.
That game is so fun. Last night we had a game where I was sure we were going to lose. Mm. And we pulled it out in the end because we got the last golem and we just rode that thing to victory. It was amazing.
Nice. Those kind of moments are hard to duplicate, man.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why, it's the Town Crier.
Town Crier, that means your emails and calls today. It's just emails. You can usually send those to us, or not usually, always send those to us at theinstance@gmail.com. You can also call and leave us a voicemail. Play on the show, 206-202-3WOW. That's 206-202-3969. Got an email here that says, well met, Scott Dills and Terpster, and greetings from Australia. This is from Tom. Would like to inform you that I am only 14 and I play WoW. We talked about kids, you know, what games are kids playing today. He says he started in 08, and although I have taken a few breaks, I am now raiding with my guild. I have also persuaded a few of my friends to play WoW as well. So there is still hope for young WoW players. I didn't want to indicate last week that
there is no hope
on the youth, you know, they don't get it. I understand there's still a base there. I'm just saying, for your average 8-year-old, the thing on their radar today is Minecraft. That is really just so prominent in their lives. They're not really thinking about WoW. Now, as they get older, maybe they pull in, but I think there is little to refute that. There are going to occasionally be kids who are maybe into WoW, and if they are, it's because their dad got them into it or whatever. But I think that there is just so much pervasive Minecraftian going on.
Well, it's absolutely, just hard to get around. It's more popular with kids, but there's still plenty of kids playing WoW. And this kid sounded like he started when he was 8 years old. So
yeah, that's true.
Yeah, yeah. So he's a veteran at this point.
There's still hope, everybody.
Yeah.
Well, but again,
I think there's a lot of kids who pick up WoW because it's still an awesome game, and you know, it's a game that's like pervasive and a lot of people know about it. And again, like I think the stigma of WoW player has kind of disappeared. It's not looked at as a totally nerdy thing as much as it used to be, even though it still pretty much is.
Yeah.
We're all nerds, but
sure, why not?
It's now like, you know, I meet people who are like super cool dudes. Yeah, man, I got a freaking I'm just talking like a cool dude, Scott.
No, I'm with you.
I got a freaking 90, you know, hunter and a 90 warrior and, you know, like, and they're like totally chill and when they talk about it and they're not worried about how people perceive them because they play WoW.
True.
Young kids look at that and they don't feel like they're not cool because they're doing it. And so I do think it's out there, but you're right. Minecraft, bigger.
Well, I would make this point that this kid, if he started playing in 2008, that was a year before Minecraft even came out. So
that's true. So he's
on the edge of that, right?
Uh-huh.
So kids who are eight now, they're the ones I wonder about. Mm-hmm. That's the stuff. But then again, okay, let's jump ahead 5 years. What the hell are we doing in 5 years? I don't know. I don't know what we're doing in 5 years in this game or any other game for that matter. So things, you know, to say that there's a generation now who are hooked on Minecraft, what are they going to do in the future? Who knows? Blizzard maybe has that.
Yeah,
that problem solved by then, and
we all know this though. It'll have the word craft in it.
Yeah, probably. I think it's a fair bet.
Somehow the word craft is never going away.
Barrett wrote in, says, "Hey guys, from the Draenor Alpha Notes, hit and expertise were not fun stats. They acted to remove a penalty instead of making you stronger." Unquote. They also said, "Quote: We explored a few options, but ultimately landed on changing the core GCD for Mistweavers from 1 second to the standard 1.5, which you will be able to reduce with haste." Unquote. Then he says, "I don't disagree that hit and expertise were not that fun, but I don't mind seeing them go. But they did make you stronger by removing a penalty like haste does. How is stacking haste as a healer to lower the GCD penalty?"
Lower that GDC.
The GDC, right?
Yeah.
The General Nutrition Center.
Gross domestic product.
Oh, yeah. It's excellent. And GNC.
That's GDP, but whatever.
Whatever. penalty more fun than DPS class stacking hit and expertise to the cap. It's all numbers. And I think that for many of us, the fun is in the numbers. Just curious what your opinion is on of what makes some numbers fun for Blizzard and some not. Thanks, Barrett. I think this is an ever-changing target. Like, there's no simple answer to like, well, you know, numbers are fun right now, but then next year they're not. Well, why are they not? Well, it's because Blizzard introduced three new systems and those changed fundamentally the way the games work. And now suddenly those numbers aren't fun
weren't fun.
Were they ever fun? They were never fun, right?
I mean, I guess you could say maybe there was a point where it was tough to actually get to the hit and expertise cap.
Yeah.
Like it was actually, you know, I had to get a bunch of gear before I could get to the point where I could do this. So now I just reforge all my stuff until I'm always hit and expertise capped, like from the get go. I'm good to go.
Yeah.
But what haste does that's fun is I'm casting things faster. That's just fun. So it's not just the numbers. It's how I feel as I'm playing. Everything feels faster. Yeah. Feels like I'm actually getting my spells out quick. And that is fun. That's not the same as, you know, periodically as I'm shooting you in the face, one of them says miss.
Right.
You know, that is completely different than I'm now shooting you faster.
I've already said the reason that existed, they were just trying to recreate a thing that existed in tabletop RPG.
Yeah, dice rolling.
Yeah, and that makes sense. That is fun in that thing because you're doing this little gamble and you're like, I don't know if this is going to happen or not. Oh, look, it totally
should I
hit.
Do this or should I do the spell that I know will hit or do
yeah,
a thing?
All
where
kinds
maybe
of tactical reasons to do that, exactly. Yeah. But in this, there you have no control over that and there's no dice roll that you're perceiving. I mean, there's one that's happening in the background, but you're not perceiving it. So the fun part was removed. So it's a valiant effort to try to recreate this age-old mechanic, but it never worked for me as a fun thing in a video game.
It never felt that fun.
No. So
getting more haste, and I think, you know, Blizzard wanted you to feel like haste was really cool and fun, and I think haste is still potentially cool and fun, just for the fact that moving faster is always going to be awesome.
Sure.
And that has a real visible effect on what's going on. Whereas hit and expertise, like the visible thing was just seeing miss or hit. That was pretty much it.
You make a really good point about visible. It's like this. If you're with your friend and you're rolling a dice that may give you a miss or hit.
Yeah.
You're seeing it happen. Yeah, you controlled it. You threw the dice. It was, you see all of the random luck and logic to it. Okay. That makes perfect sense to you.
Why do people want to play craps?
Right.
Like, that is just rolling dice.
This is why
somehow people are so excited.
Yep.
Oh my God, it's a seven.
And this is the same problem. It's the same issue I have with, say, video poker or video slot machines. I don't see the mechanical happening. I see pixels on a screen and I know that stuff can be faked. I'm not saying it all is faked. It may be. I don't know if it is or not, but it doesn't matter. The point is that because I don't see the physical thing happening anymore, because my control over that has been limited, the fun goes away.
Yeah.
The chance of it goes away. So now in a video game, you never see that stuff happen. So what's the point?
I think it's a great point that the visual aspect is really important, and knowing that it has something to do with what I did and not some random number generator that I don't even know how actually works.
You love it if it rolls high, because like in Diablo, when I'm getting major critical hits, because I've done some stat stuff and have some sweet gear for critical hit augmentation, that's awesome. And that is dice rolls coming into my favor. So at least, so there's a baseline I'm already happy with, and anything else is better than the baseline. What we don't want is anything that's less good than the baseline.
Yeah, yeah. And then like in Hearthstone, RNG is incredibly fun because, you know, you visually go, okay, Rag has a 50% chance to kill him or kill his dude.
Yeah.
Come on, Rag, you know, and then you watch the fireball. Boom.
Yeah.
That is fun.
That is fun.
This stuff happening in the background, not so much.
So there you go. Thank you for that, Barrett, and great emails, guys. We really appreciate all your emails. Keep them coming. That's theinstance@gmail.com, and please do. It's going to do it for us. We're out. No drop of the week this week. Got nothing of real note. There is a 50% discount on the WoW Battle Chest plus expansion stuff till
the
6th. And
that's going away pretty soon, right?
Yeah,
so
I think the 6th.
Let me
confirm.
Time to drop or get off the pot.
I think it is the 6th. Yes, it is. 6th of May, that ends. So if you want to get in on that deal, now would be the time. That's gonna do it for us. Dills, how the other two shows going, man? What's going on over there?
We're doing great. The Angry Chicken and Into the Nexus are both high up on the charts, and people seem to be enjoying them, and they're a lot of fun to talk about these games. Obviously, there's a lot going on in the world of Blizzard, and I feel like I'm very, very tuned into it all at this point because I'm covering 3/5 of it.
Awesome.
Honestly, yeah. But then we've got Mr. Scott Johnson here who's backing me up with the Diablo show.
That's
now,
right. So. We have every game they make now covered in
we
some
way. We got
it
covered, man. If you like Blizzard games, you come to Frog Pants and we get you.
That's right. So, Frogpants.com. Yeah. Links to all that stuff is there. We need to get the Nexus up in there.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
we just
got to get that.
Lazy.
You know what's really exciting about doing all these shows and having, you know, kind of your finger and all the different pies, you know, it's like, I know kind of what's happening in all the games, is when it comes time for BlizzCon this year.
Yeah.
Just everything is going to be amazing for me.
It's going to be incredible.
Yeah. There's not going to be a single thing I'm not going to want to do. I guess maybe StarCraft. I don't, you know.
Yeah. StarCraft's a bit it's on the burner for now.
Well, a lot of that team is working on Heroes. So
pretty much the entire team. I think they got community and like esports people not focused on it, and they've got some technical back end, but for the most part, all those devs, all those designers, all the art guys, all Heroes all the time.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, that makes sense because it's running on the same engine, and it's, you know, it's very much it's very in a way similar as far as top down strategical map game.
Yep.
But It's exciting times for Blizzard. I hope that StarCraft kind of makes its resurgence at some point, comes back into the main focus. But right now, everything is awesome, and all those shows are doing well. Thank you guys, everybody who's listening to them, and hopefully you don't get sick of me.
Yeah,
talking in your ear holes all the time.
Too much Dills, too much Scott. You could never have enough or something. Terpsa should be back next week, and we'll get his take on some of this stuff and whatever happens during the week. Thank you all for joining us. Music today by Matthew Oxley. Big thanks to him. Leave a review on iTunes. We'd love it. Our intern is Paul Swickard. Our forums, show notes, archives, and more are theinstance.net, theinstance.net. On Twitter, Instance Show. You can also find me at Scott Johnson, Dills at Willie Dills, and Terpster at _T. More great shows just like this at frogpants.com. Go check it out. It's going to do it for us, for me, for Dills, for the caretaking Terpster. We'll see you next time.
Shout out to the guy who made the Dills of Sleeping song.
Oh, yeah, that was
great. Shout out.
That was badass. Beja will be on Current Geek tonight, so guys, listen to that.
Ooh.
War Chief's words harm Horrid Harmony. It's the Overly Dramatic News. I'm Hunts the Wind. Garrosh Hellscream has made no secret at all of his belief in orcish superiority, but one would have thought that with his allies falling away bit by bit, he would be more circumspect when it comes to offending those who still support him. Apparently his hubris is stronger than his common sense, however, as the contents of a letter from him to one of his War Maiden friends reveal. The missive, which was intercepted yesterday by rebel infiltrators, is one long diatribe against the goblins. He accuses the War Maiden of spending too much time with the pint-sized merchants and rogues, having portraits done with them, and even inviting them to the private observation spots high on the walls of Orgrimmar to watch the siege battles outside. Most of his letter is unquotable in a family broadcast, but suffice it to say that his opinion of goblins is far lower than their already diminutive height. The rebels have printed hundreds of copies of the letter and fired them into the city via catapult. This has had some effect, as reports tell us that the goblin merchants have suddenly found themselves out of stock on several critical war supplies. At a news conference earlier today, a Horde spokes-orc was asked if Garrosh would apologize for his insensitive remarks. The orc's reply of, "Make the warchief apologize? You and what army?" was cut off by the boom of a battering ram slamming against the gates, followed by an uncomfortable silence. Broadcasting across all Azeroth, I'm Hunts the Wind. Check out the archives at OverlyDramaticNews.com or follow me on Twitter at Hunts the Wind.
Ready, aim, what?
This is Hunter Talk. I am Johnny Feisty, the Hunting Hunter, with tips to make your hunter hunterific. This week's topic is back to hunter basics. Welcome to Hunter Talk. Now that I've got all my level boosting stuff behind me, I thought it would be a good time to focus on what got me this far. The basics of huntering in WoW. To help get back to basics, I've been raiding and doing... Fine. I've been running dungeons with all... Stop interrupting me. Okay. I was questing in the capital... Cooking dailies count as quests. And while I was doing my... And what, Flappy? Yes, and I was doing pet battles. I mean, I can only do one cooking daily quest in Orgrimmar per day, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe I haven't tamed the maximum amount of water snakes yet. And what was I talking about again? Right. Back to Hunter Basics. Oh, hold on, I've got to go see Varzok. Sorry, everybody. Stay tuned next time for Back to Hunter Basics. No, you're a noose. Thanks for listening to Hunter Talk. Big ups to Flappy.
At Johnny Feisty on Twitter.
JohnnyFeisty.
Because he likes you.
Greetings, and welcome to Slashgrants. I'm your host, Efink G4. I'm here to talk to you about the fun achievements you can earn in the World of Warcraft.
This week's achievement is Tranquil Master. The goal here is to purge Pandaria of the Shock Corruption, defeating each known manifestation of the negative emotion. So, there are 6 Shahs we need to get rid of. The Shah of Doubt. That's the last boss of the dungeon, Temple of the Jade Serpent. Gotta kill him on heroic difficulty. The Shah of Violence is the third boss in Shadowpan Mastery. Also heroic difficulty. Shah of Anger is that rare world boss found in Kulai Summit. Get a group together. Shah of Despair is an NPC that you have to kill during a quest in Karrison Wilds that I will link. The quest is called In the House of the Red Crane. The Shah of Hatred is also an NPC you have to kill during a quest called The Shah of Hatred in Talong Steps. Shah of Fear is the last boss in the Terrence of Endless Spring. Normal or heroic will get that kill noted. Kill all these Shahs alone or with friends. Probably with friends. You're going to get the title, the Tranquil Master. The achievement, Tranquil Master. 10 points. This is for Horde and Alliance. Level 90.
Catch up on old shows at slashgrads.com or find us on Stitcher or iTunes. You can contact me on Twitter. I'm EfinkG4. Good luck, and we'll see you next week.
Thrumka, and welcome to Ask Miss Melgra, your source on matters of etiquette in Azeroth. Today's question is, what do you do when your producer's mother visits? To start with, I do not even get a proper question. Of course, the world stops when the producer's mother comes by for a visit, and I have to think of a question all by myself. I am a question answerer, not an asker. Is it really too much for the producer to get back to work and produce? Now, do not mistake me. The producer's mother was a nice little lady, for a human. She even took me to lunch for something called a Reuben, made with real Montreal smoked meat on a pumpernickel bagel. Actually, it was pretty good for mystery meat. Maybe it is permissible for the mother to return, if she buys lunch. I am Miss Mulgrew, and that is my advice. Akamagosh! Follow at Miss Mulgrew on Twitter, or listen to previous episodes at missmulgrew.com.
The Buxley Abides. Welcome to Buxley's Journal. Dear Journal, I swear I had a plan. Bring some water with me to help put out the flames on that poor Ordo sky at the top of Timeless Isle. Pretty simple, right? Well, I went down to the beach to get a bucket of water, trying to dodge all the turtles, and I slip in what I hope was turtle wax when I hear a yell. I look up, and there's a pirate ship rising out of the water. This ghost starts yelling something, but I can't hear it. So I and a lot of other people go to find out what's going on. The next thing I know, the ship starts playing this game of catch the fireball with everybody around it. The thing about the game catch the fireball is that not very many people are good at it. Even makes some people mad, and just as I suspected, people start attacking. Eventually, they kill the ship, which is a weird concept if you think about it. So I go back and grab the water. I head up that hill I saw, which leads to the top of the island. So on my way there are these two Tarns standing there by this gate. And I give them the secret Tarn hoof sign, and they let me through. I go past a lot of these Tarn-looking guys. I know they're not Tarn, but they get the idea. And I go past some bridges and some tree sprites just standing around, past some flying dragons. I finally get all the way to the bridge where I can get across with my bucket so I can put that poor guy out. Except the bridge is out. So I'm standing there wondering if I can jump that far, and this guy walks up beside me and boom! A gust of wind carries him across the bridge. So I think, hey, I can give that a shot. There's a gust of wind, I take a running leap, and ta-da! I plummet at full speed to the ground below. And I'm a pretty smart guy, I think, so I'm like, I must have done this wrong. So I go up there, and I see another person fly across, and I pay careful attention, and I did it exactly how he did it. 5 more times, and left 5 big impressions on the ground. Then I finally start to realize, maybe I'm not doing this right. Journal, I'm going to have to investigate how they're getting across. If you'd like to see what I'm up to, follow Ask Buxley on Twitter.
Is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.